time for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten in part by Jewel Gardens in Skagway, in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning. Do you want to introduce everyone that's in
I
the studio?
I will. We have two people in the studio this morning, one a gardener and one not. And so that's why we have two. But, you know, we're doing something that we normally don't do, and we're advocating a product this morning. But the reason is because this is a locally made fertilizer that Jim Szymanski has come up with. And it was brought to my attention because Leslie, who is also here, Leslie Downer, if I didn't say that, so Randa Szymanski and Leslie Downer are in the studio with me this morning, has done an experiment and found great results. So I said, let's talk about this and tell the community that we actually have a fertilizer that is locally made. So Randa, tell me what it is, tell me what it is, first of all.
Okay, it's called Sea to Soil. Mm-hmm. It is a fish fertilizer hydrolyslate, which means it's fermented. Mm-hmm. It is not an emulsion. It's made...
In contrast to, like, the Alaska fish fertilizer is an emulsion.
It is an emulsion, mm-hmm. Yep. It's made right here in Haines, out at the Haines packing plant. Jim and Harry one night were talking about what should we do with all this fish waste. It's such a shame to see it go to waste. And so last winter, Jim got on the internet and found the information on how to make fish fertilizer. So he researched it all winter, and he came up with a recipe, and that's what they're doing out there at the fish plant.
And I am using some, and what I love about it is that it smells really good. It smells like, well, it kind of smells like...
How can that be?
It's true. It smells kind of like rain almost. You know, that fresh kind of smell? And I think it's the microbes.
Yeah. It's made entirely from, like I say, the fermenting process. He starts with lactobacillus. Mm-hmm. He makes that from rice water and gallons and gallons of milk. Mm-hmm. That goes into the tank with spring water and with all the fish waste. And then he adds molasses to feed the microbes and a little bit of seaweed to add a little bit of extra. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's nothing else weird in there. Mm-hmm. The lactobacillus goes to work and it breaks down all the fish. There is nothing left by the time it's done. And so... Yeah, for the first week while it's working, it smells like fish. And then after that, it just smells, I thought it smelled like molasses bread. Mm-hmm. It is very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The interesting thing to me when I was talking to Jim about this is that this is bringing in all sorts of ingredients that we've talked about on the show before. It's aerated compost, or aerating, fermenting, composting process. It is fish, using fish waste. And so it's using all of the what do I call it, the procedures or the things that are used in gardening all the time, and it's putting it into this product. So Leslie, you have used it.
Yes, I have, and it's wonderful. I can highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. So how do you use it?
I use the foliar feed, so I follow the instructions on the jug. And I put it in I have a backpack sprayer, and it's a real nice one. I've really enjoyed using it. It has brass fittings and such, and so it gives a nice fine spray. But anyway, I mix it up in my sprayer, just like Jim said on the directions, and once a week I'll go out to the garden, and I'll spray everything that I want to make look beautiful, and it works just great. I dedicate usually Sunday morning to that because it seems like I forget. Like, oh, have I sprayed this week or not? Yeah. So I just say, okay, every Sunday morning I'm going to mix up my batch and spray the garden.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's a good idea. That's a good way to do it because I always forget to do it as well. Yeah. And I have talked to some people who are using it as a soil drench, which is what I am doing right now because my sprayer is broken. And what that means is you just mix up the directions are on it, and you mix up the same amount or the composition. I think it's 2 tablespoons per gallon. So the gallon jug that you get makes a ton. I mean, it mm-hmm. makes 250 makes gallons. So, mm-hmm. And you mix it up, and then you just put it on as a soil drench. And people who have used it have said that that's worked as well.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about getting this?
Good question.
Okay, it's for sale at the Haynes Packing Retail Store, mm-hmm. and it's also for sale at Alaska Sport Shop downtown. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, Randa, when we were talking, one thing that I love about this too is it's all done in recycled stuff.
It is. We made a deal with Mountain Market. We are picking up their milk jugs,
isn't
their gallon
cool?
milk jugs yeah. that they go through by the hundreds, shall mm-hmm. we say. We go by and pick them up every
it's
day.
So cool. I love
and
that.
And that's what we bottle them in. Mm-hmm. So it's in recycled jugs, and everything that we're using practically is recycled.
All of the stuff that Jim developed to make this is almost all recycled stuff. He's using an old tank that he got from
yep.
someplace.
Yeah, there was an old 5,000-gallon tank out there on the Haynes Packing property, mm-hmm. and then the aerator, he created that yeah. from parts parts that he found. So it's definitely been...
Yeah. It's got good juju in it because it's all recycled.
It is, yes.
Good energy in yeah. it.
Well, and I like the fact that he's using all of the fish. He's not, you yeah. know, straining away different parts and then, you know, you're only getting a little bit of it. So that would be something people could... might be interested in is, you know, what's the difference between mm-hmm. hydrolysate and what's the other one?
Emulsion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with the emulsion, they boil down the fish waste. They strain off all the fish oil, and that's sold because that's a pretty mm-hmm. lucrative market for fish oil. Mm-hmm. That's sold. Then they dry the fish meal, and they sell that. And then what's left is the liquid, and that's what they're selling to you as your fertilizer. So that's mm-hmm. why it smells, mm-hmm. and there really isn't much in there. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the hydrolysate, it's all in there, and mm-hmm. the little lactobacillus has just broken it all down into usable parts for your plants, mm-hmm. so you get everything in there. Mm-hmm. Now, I did hear someone was using it on their houseplants, and they're just... raving about what their houseplants
wow.
are doing.
That
so,
makes sense.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah.
Especially if it doesn't smell bad.
No.
You
yeah.
know, you
yeah.
could do that.
Yeah, yeah. You could easily do that. Yeah. And again, it's. I've always thought that houseplants, well, for me, they're one of the biggest challenges. Container gardening mm-hmm. is the biggest challenge for me because you got to, soil needs the same thing. It needs microbes, and mm-hmm. it's hard getting microbes in there. So that might be a really good answer to container gardening is mm-hmm. being able to put good microbes in there on a regular basis and low cost and all of that kind of stuff. So
and this can be used as a compost enhancer as well.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on the mm-hmm. directions.
Yep.
So, yeah, if you've got a compost pile that is not doing much. Mm-hmm. And was that mixing it up in water as well? I can't
yep.
remember.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the formula's on there.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And this also has kelp in it, right?
Yep, there's a little
yep.
bit of seaweed
okay.
added in there
okay.
as well.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that when I'm composting, if I add a little kelp into my compost pile, boy, it really takes off. It
oh,
just,
really?
I don't know
mm-hmm.
what it is, but there's something about that.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps it
mm-hmm.
get going.
Well, it certainly has a lot of trace minerals and mm-hmm. stuff. In fact, you can go to the store and buy all sorts of kelp fertilizers and whatnot. And I think, wow, we've got that right out our front door.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
What about storage of the stuff? I think that's important to talk about.
It is. It needs to be kept cool and in a dark room. If you're going to keep it through the winter, I'd put it in a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely you want to keep it cool.
Mm-hmm. Which is just because it's living.
That's right.
Anything that's living you need to take care of a little bit.
Yep.
So, and then one thing I also wanted to say is that there's an analysis coming, which I don't know how important that is, but for the science minds out there, there is an analysis coming that you've
yes.
sent in for, but it's just not back yet.
It's not back yet. Yeah. No, it takes a while. We sent it to a lab in the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
and they are doing a complete analysis. We didn't just want the NPK,
mm-hmm.
the three.
Right.
They could have had that back to us in a week's time,
mm-hmm.
but we wanted everything. We
mm-hmm.
wanted to know what is in this.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, well, it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be worth waiting for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. For me, it's like if it works, it works.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. And as long as I know there's nothing in there that I don't want in my garden, which that's one of the nice things, too, that I like about this is that having a locally made product that I know what's in there
absolutely.
Is nice.
Yeah.
So.
There is nothing unnatural added mm-hmm. to this at all.
Yeah.
It is all all natural
products. And using stuff that is normally just thrown away.
Yep.
So
yep.
it's a win-win. I'm happy. And so that's why I decided to bring you on the show and talk about it. And it was all prompted by Leslie's photo on our Haynes Garden Facebook. If you want to see the results of it, Leslie posted a photo of her potatoes, one row done with it sprayed and one not sprayed. And there's a marked difference.
There is. Yeah. And I, after I took the photo, it was like, okay, I'm using it on all of them.
I can't
stop, you know, not using it. So the neglected potato row got a spray too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there was another gardener friend of ours who started that same idea. Some got, some didn't. Mm-hmm. And she saw right away that it was really working, and she just couldn't stand.
Said, forget it.
She's doing the whole garden.
No trial.
And that's okay. I'm fine with that.
I always feel bad for the control group.
It's
true.
Yeah.
It's true. So we've only got a few minutes left to talk about one other thing that is going on in the gardens besides keeping them healthy at this point. It's almost time to pull out your garlic. In fact, Leslie, you said that you were going to do that real soon.
Yeah, probably today. You know, I thought it's really showing some brownness. And Joe Orsi always talks about he's a garlic grower in Juneau and does fabulous product. And he says that when he is ready to pull his garlic, he looks at the stem of the garlic, and if there's 4 to 5 green leaves on the top still, they might be browning on the tips a little bit, but that indicates that it's probably ready to go. The lower leaves will be brown, but those 4 to 5 on the top that are still green, that's the protective wrapper on the bulb. And so he starts lifting them out and drying them off.
I think that's a better way of looking at it than if you go online and look up instructions, they'll often say when there's 3 yellow ones on the bottom. And it's like, I've gone and looked at my garlic and counted my yellow ones on the bottom, yellow leaves, and it made no sense. But what does make sense, you do need to have those green ones for the sheets.
So, yeah, that's your protection.
Yeah.
And different varieties will have more leaves. So by going by the bottom, it doesn't really give you a good indicator.
So this is a much better way of looking at it.
The top leaves are what's going to tell you what's truly protecting that garlic.
And then what do you do?
Well, there's a few different methods. The traditional method is lift them out whole, don't wash them, just kind of gently knock the dirt off, lay them in a place where there's no sunshine but there's good breeze, and let them dry down. My friend Lori Adams in Sitka, she's been gardening there for about 20 years. She has gorgeous garlic. She lifts the garlic out, cuts the stem down to about 1 inch, washes them off well, and then lays them on a screen and dries them in front of a fan for about a week. And that works beautifully, too. Mm-hmm. And she said it's just a little bit easier because you don't have as much bulk to deal with. You don't have all those stems and everything. Mm-hmm. So for her situation, it just works better.
So, again, it's one of those things where sometimes when you break the rules, it still works.
Yeah.
It's not going to be this year because I lost some of my garlic to winter, and so I don't have any to lose this year. But I'd like to do an experiment of if there's a difference of cutting it off. In my reading and researching on this, what they're saying is that the difference is how long the garlic will last. And I want my garlic to last clear until now. I'm still using last year's garlic. And so if you're going to use your garlic up in the first few months, it really doesn't make any difference because it'll keep very well.
And just one other consideration is that she grows the porcelain varieties.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they have a thicker neck,
mm-hmm. even thicker than a lot of the hard necks. So her favorites are Music and Georgian Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So she feels like it gives her a little advantage in getting them dry.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if she left the whole stem on, it'd take a lot longer to dry because they have such a thick neck.
And I think that is the most important thing. From my experience, I didn't lose it, but I had a whole crop of garlic mold 1 year because I put it in my basement. I learned the hard way. You must have air flowing around your garlic. Otherwise, it will mold.
Is that the purpose for braiding and hanging them up?
Well, you can do that with soft neck. You can't do that with hard neck. And we're talking about the curing. So you need to cure for a week to 4 or 5 weeks. It depends upon how much air you have. That's right. But they need to cure and really dry out. And then the softnecks, you can leave the stalks on and weave them. Those are those beautiful braids that you see. But the hardnecks are hard. You know, they've got really stiff. So you got to cut them off, like Leslie says, about an inch or so from the top. And, you know, brush the dirt off. Or I washed my garlic 1 year. Mm-hmm. I broke the rules and nothing happened. No lightning came down and struck
me.
Yeah. But they say not to, because I do think that that possibly may lead to more mold if they're
wet.
It
adds more moisture.
Yeah, more moisture.
Sure. Yeah.
But if you lay them in front of a fan, that kind of negates it. And
exactly.
Lori, who's in Sitka, where, you know, lots of rain, she said, well, they're wet when they come out of the ground, so washing's not going to hurt.
Yeah, that's kind of what, that was my thought when I did that, too, so.
Well, thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
This
has been a very informative interesting another garden conversation.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, Randa and Leslie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.